Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Thanks for being with us as always. I'm Mitch Lawrence. He's Darren Bunch out there in California. Thanks for finding us on iTunes, Audio Boom, or GolfTripX.com. Darren, you can find, of course, on social media at Golf Getaways, on Twitter and Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence, on those same social medias. And speaking of social media, we have what I know will be a fun show, D, with the one and only, I am pretty sure, Samantha Marks, who entertains us as well as making us think a bit on both Twitter and Instagram. A big presence in the golf world as the former associate editor and content and marketing manager for Golf Channel, a former Arkansas Razorback, Suey. She was on the golf team. She was a stalwart there, current all-around interesting and fun-loving human. This is going to be fun.
Samantha and I might have to talk about Hardscrabble Golf Club at some point in this too. So it's going to be exciting hour. I'm sure we will have lots of knowledge dropped on us. Samantha has just come back from a sweet trip, no pun intended, to Sweetens Cove, the Macklemore, and Troubadour. So we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff.
All right, cool. And not to mention the fact, and we're going to kind of get to this fairly quickly, but the fact that Samantha lives off the 7th fairway at Winter Park 9, which has to be one of the coolest addresses in the world of golf. I'm guessing that if you can have other spots like Pebble Beach or some others that I can think of, Winter Park has to be one of the absolutely great places. She just told us that when she walks out her driveway, it's pretty much right there. So we're going to talk about that a little. I first really became aware of who Samantha is because of her great Twitter feed. This happens often that you find somebody who really kind of just grabs you and then you follow along for the ride. I'd read some of her blogs and content on the Golf Channel side. I'd seen her work on camera for various Golf Channel digital channels, but it was her recent tweets that hooked me like so many others. First off, as a golfer, I have to say, because when you see her swing, and she's probably going to disagree with this right now, but it is off the charts to die for. I mean, really a great swing. I don't think I've ever finished as in balance as Samantha does one time in 40 years. Secondly, she's been very open, and this kind of is what grabbed me, about her travails, and I hope, Samantha, that you don't mind me mentioning this, on the online dating scene, which brought me some of the funniest moments and a couple of actual spit takes the first time that I saw them. I happen to be married to a Hall of Fame pool player from Sweden, who loves nothing more than taking down guys who think they can. And I'm going to ask Samantha about that aspect of it. But through her work with the Golf Channel, though that's recently ended, I have a feeling we're getting in on the ground floor with someone who's about to be much more high profile in the world of golf media, thanks to her knowledge of the game, her skills in a digital and on-camera world, and certainly for her open and fun personality. You can get a glimpse of it all on Twitter and Instagram at Samantha S. Marks. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways, Samantha, from a spot at which I truly wish we were doing this podcast.
Dang, what an intro, y'all. That was incredible. Thank you for having me. That made me feel really special.
It is what I live for, to make your day with an
Well, you did it in just a few minutes. That was impressive.
I know. I want to jump right into this because when I saw that you lived at Winter Park, it's a fascinating idea to me. I've played it. I've had a chance to experience it. Darren has yet to experience the joy of Winter Park. Did you grow up in Winter Park?
I grew up in Maitland, which is about a mile from Winter Park. So we kind of grew up in the Winter Park, Maitland area. It's just north of Orlando, still in Orlando, but far enough away from all of the Disney hoopla. So you don't get many tourists down here. It's very small town feel. Can't go anywhere in Winter Park without seeing someone you know or someone from high school or, you know, your friend's mom or whatever, which is just something that we really enjoy. So it's been a great place to me and my family. And I don't have any intentions of leaving anytime soon. It just holds a very special place in my heart here. And not to mention Winter Park 9. It's a great experience there as well.
Well, having been at Winter Park a couple of times at the golf course, I absolutely love the town and everything you're saying about it. It has an unbelievable feel. What I am interested in is you grew up in junior golf. It was a big part of your life. So I'm sure you experienced Winter Park, I would think, before Keith Reb and Riley Johns got their hands on it and did their magic act. You may have been away at college when they did the work, but you certainly experienced it before, I would think, and after. Just talk to us a little bit about what the golf course has done for the community and the transformation that it's brought to, and the recognition kind of, and the golf notoriety that it's brought to the golf world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. It has changed kind of the community aspect of the city right there on Park Avenue, which is the main street in Winter Park. You've got 1 mile from the Winter Park Nine all the way down a very pretty brick road to Rollins College. It's a D2 school, very good golf programs there, but it's straight down a brick road. They've got restaurants, boutiques, shops, a ton of great bars and places to go with families. There's a park, there's a train station. It's just a very cool atmosphere. But many years ago, the golf course didn't have a part in that at all. It was not in good shape. I never saw anybody on it. I never had any interest in playing in it because it wasn't very good shape. So I did play it once or twice before the redo. But it is completely different now. Anytime you drive by, there's people everywhere. There's a giant practice putting green right off of 9 tee box. You know, people have their kids, their girlfriends, their wives out there trying to teach them how to putt, and it's just kind of created this really awesome atmosphere and bringing more people to the game because of its public fashion, its chill fashion, the $2 Michelob Ultras, you know, stuff like that. That's very important to bringing people to the game. So you're right, though, that it did change a lot between what it used to be and what it is now. And what it is now, I don't have much of a bearing on what it used to be, you know, at this day and age of my life. But what it is now is a very integral part to Winter Park's community, and especially the golf community here in Orlando. People travel, I mean, far and wide to play this little 9-hole gem, and we're very proud and honored that it's in our city.
Have you had a chance to meet Keith and Riley? Have they been there when you've been there?
I have not. I try to play out there at least once a week. I'm not that good at doing that. They have a membership that I probably should just get instead of paying every time that I play. But I grew up as a member at Interlochen Country Club, which is just about 3 miles away from there. So that's where we always go. There's a range and a practice facility where Winter Park Nine doesn't have that. So that's kind of my default. But if I'm going out for a fun, you know, 9 holes with friends like I'm doing tomorrow, that's definitely my place of choice.
Okay, I really hope you can get to meet Keith and Riley. They're truly two of the great people in the game.
Yeah.
I think you'd love them if you can somehow hook up and find out when they're going to be there, because it's not only what they've done to the golf course, but you know, just who they are
Right.
and how much they fit in with what it's all about. I had a chance to meet both of them up at Forest Dunes when they were working on the short course up at Forest Dunes. I was up there and I was completely blown away by the two of them, just meeting them in person. So hopefully you'll get to do that. Your parents live near the eighth hole, you told me, kind of near the putting green.
Yeah, so right out their front door is the big Winter Park Nine putting green, and then to the left of their house is number 8 green, number 9 tee. So we see a lot more play, you know, from there. Be sitting outside, my mom will be cooking, and me and my dad will go out and have a putting contest and wait for dinner to be ready. And you know, it's a really fun little spot there. And many of dollars have been bet on that putting green. Many of dollars I have taken off my dad, but
Oh.
he's glad to give them to me, even though he says he's not.
But what a great place. What an amazing experience to be able to have that often. That's so, just
Yeah.
so cool.
It is
The whole
very
thing is
cool.
great.
And we had a small putting green in the backyard and when I was growing up, but it was nothing like this. And you know, when there's people around and you're sinking putts and it's, you know, sunset, it's a really fun experience for sure. So we're very blessed.
All right, cool. Obviously, people can find out more about Winter Park at Winter Park Golf on Twitter. If they haven't heard about it already, they must have been living in a cave on Guam somewhere.
Yeah.
But Darren, let's talk about a spot with Samantha that you and I dearly love.
Let's move on from Winter Park and your guys' love best of Winter Park, where I have not been. But now I know that I can just take a sleeping bag and sleep on Samantha's front yard if I needed to have a golf getaway. Let's talk about Sweetens Cove. We had an event there last year, a Golf Trip Experts event, and absolutely loved it. Had an absolute blast. I know it was part of your trip that you took with Alex O'Loughlin. You know, tell us a little bit about just, I mean, first of all, how it kind of ended up on your itinerary of these golf courses, and then give us kind of your impressions of Sweetens, because it definitely is a place that gets a ton of love online, on Twitter, on Instagram. But there are also people who have questions about it. I've heard, you know, both sides of the argument of whether maybe it's a little too hard, maybe it's a little too gimmicky. I don't necessarily believe that, but I see the arguments both ways. So tell us about your experience at Sweetens.
Yeah, so a little bit about, you know, kind of the road trip as a whole. Alex O'Loughlin's one of my dear friends, and she was moving from Orlando to Nashville. And, you know, she kind of looked at me one day and she was like, "Will you come with me?" And I was like, "Hell no. Like, I hate driving. I hate being in the car. That's like everything that everybody knows about me. If it's more than 5 minutes away, I'm not going. Like, I'm not going." It's like why Winter Park is so good for me, because everything is right here. So I was like, "I guess fine, but we have to stop and play some golf along the way." And she's like, "Oh, for sure. Whatever." So we had a glass of wine or two, and we're trying to plan this trip, and we're just throwing things all over the place, putting courses on the map we knew we would never get on, just for fun, you know, seeing what we could make out of it. And so Alex put up a question box on her Instagram saying, you know, between Orlando and Nashville, you know, assuming we're going in a straight line, we don't want to go too far off path, where should we go? And the answers were Sweetens. Obviously, those dumbasses who say Augusta, like, yeah, obviously, you know, but it's everything from Atlanta Athletic Club, Sweetens, Honors Course, Macklemore, Troubadour, stuff like that. And so we kind of compiled what was getting the most love, and we started looking them up and seeing who was messaging about them, because there were some like superintendents or general managers messaging us about coming, and which made it pretty easy for the planning. So we got hooked up at Sweetens with GM there, Matt. And so we show up, and we had played Macklemore in the morning, which we'll get to that later. And we show up, and it is Peyton Manning's course, Sweetens Cove, which I'm sure you guys know if people don't. Right. And so we pull up, and, you know, there's a ton of people there, parking lot's packed. We're like, okay. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I have a very low expectation, I think, for golf courses. I've played some very crappy golf courses in my life. And especially when I think of nine holers, you know, I think of maybe what Winter Park Nine used to be, or I think of, you know, maybe not the greatest conditions. And we show up there, and it was in impeccable shape. We meet Matt in the parking lot, and he's got Peyton Manning's golf cart for us that he used from the match with Tiger Woods. He's like, "Here we go. We pulled this cart out for you. Put your bags on. Like, come on in the pro shop." We had to take a shot of whiskey because we were first timers there with the GM. And it was such a fun experience. And that's how I like to play golf. That's how me and Alex like to play golf together, is just hit a bad shot, drop another one, like up against a tree, move it a couple feet. Like, it's not the US Open. Like, we're just playing out there to have fun and spend time together and have a good time. And that's what we enjoyed about Sweetens, was it was extremely chill. It was extremely great conditions. I cannot like emphasize that enough, because I was so shocked. It was fun. Like, I think it's fun when you hit, you know, if you're out there playing for fun and you hit a good shot and it rolls off the green, you shouldn't have a problem with it. Now, if you're playing in the US Open, maybe that's a little bit more, you know, frustrating, but we just had a blast watching shots hit it right next to pin and end up 50 feet away. And then we'd, you know, drop another ball and have a putting contest from there. So it was just kind of a fun experience for us. We played it right at sunset. It started to get pretty chilly. which was nice because then the sun was going down as well. We got some cool photos and we just really had an awesome time. I can't speak highly enough of Sweetens and Matt for allowing us out there. And the experience that we had was definitely one I'll never forget because it was so above what I was expecting.
And did you play it just the one time? Did you just play the nine holes one time around?
We did. We got there at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had heard so many times in Instagram, people messaging Alex saying, you got to spend all day, you got to play it twice, you got to play it, you know, all this stuff. And if we didn't go that afternoon, we weren't going to be able to go. So we definitely want to go back and play it a couple more times. But at this point, yeah, we just played it once.
One of the great things that King Collins has done out there with their creativity is allow you to play it in many different directions. And when you play it over and over again with the flags, you know, a lot of times they cut two flags per hole. It really is a golf course that every time you go around, and Mitch and I say this all the time on the podcast, the golf courses that reveal themselves more once you play them over and over again are some of our favorites, and Sweetens is certainly one of those.
Definitely, yeah. I thought that was something that was really cool was the double pins on each green. For us, like I said, we were just out there having fun. We were hitting whatever to whatever pin we wanted to. We definitely try to not take it too seriously. Me and Alex both played in college and played junior golf, and we've had enough weekends grinding it out at courses that we just like to go out there and laugh and blast some music and have fun. So that's what we loved about Sweetens.
It's a great place. Mitch, I don't remember if you were in the group last year. We did one thing with those double pins where we didn't choose one. You know, Samantha just said they hit to whichever one they wanted to. We actually scored where when you got on the green, you could putt to whichever pin you wanted to. And then you took your score from there, and we had a nine-hole score that way. It was me and Brian Orr. I don't remember who else was with us on that in that nine, but there's just so much fun stuff we can do. But Mitch, I don't know. You want to talk about Macklemore, I assume. I've been to Lookout Mountain Golf Club, so I know what those views are like, but neither of us has been to Macklemore yet. So Mitch, why don't you take it from there?
Before we leave, at Sweetens Cove on Twitter, just for those of you, again, who might somehow not have been aware of it. Sweetens was actually the second stop for you. The first stop for you and Alexandru was one of the more amazing looking courses we've seen lately. As you said, the Macklemore, it's in one of my favorite town names, Rising Fawn, Georgia.
That's beautiful.
I love that. It makes me want to just kind of sit in a rocking chair somehow. Rising Fawn, Georgia. I first heard about it, and I want to give him a shout out from a good friend of ours and certainly mine, Chris Mascaro. Next on the Tee podcast is his. He does an unbelievable job with the show that he has, but he's partnered with Macklemore, and he only associates himself with great places, I have to say. But Chris was raving about it, and he kept telling me about it. He lives in Atlanta. He kept talking about it, and so I started looking at it. And then when I found out that you were going to be there, Samantha, I thought, how cool. It's just a little background. It was nominated as Best New Course for 2020. It was designed by a pretty amazing twosome, legendary Reese Jones, who we all know about, and a great underrated architect in Bill Bergen, who not many people do and should know about. The views look sick over Macklemore Cove, Lookout Mountain, as Darren said. There are canyons, there's ridges, there's forest lands, there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. There's pretty much everything, I think, Samantha, that you can want in a golf course. It looked unbelievable. Can you give us kind of a rundown of your impression?
Yeah, I would say that Macklemore was the course that we were most excited to see because of all of the hype kind of around it. We had so many people suggesting that we go there and that they hadn't been able to go yet and that it was new. And, you know, there was kind of this unknown factor about it. Not many people knew about it. So we were really excited to go. And we got hooked up with Kyle, one of the assistant pros out there. And they gave us a house on 14 for the night. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful home, sat out on the porch during sunset. And then we played the golf course the next morning, and the golf course is in impeccable shape. The greens were so fast. So we had a lot of fun kind of putting around the breaks and seeing some really insane putts, and the views from a bunch of the tee boxes were crazy. Even on number one, you're way above, the fairway. So you're looking down and it's just a beautiful view all around the golf course. There wasn't a single hole where I was like, meh, this is okay. You know what I mean? So it was really awesome. And then the clubhouse is still being built. So, the pro shop right now is going to be, is just a house, and it's going to be turned into hitting bays and kind of like a range house where you can get refreshments and stuff like that. But it's also going to have hitting bays and putt labs and stuff in there. So we got a tour of the clubhouse and what it's going to look like. And it already looks incredible once they get stuff in there and finish it up. We can't wait to go back to see kind of everything finished together. But the golf course itself, especially those last few holes, number 18, overlooking Lookout Mountain there, was just gorgeous. Alex and I both have an appreciation for views like that. And so it was really, really awesome, especially to be able to play golf in the same kind of view.
Tell me a little bit about the course itself. I've played a lot of mountain golf, and sometimes because the way they have to carve it out of the mountains, the golf courses are just too hard. Now, you're a pretty good player, and so is Alex. Did you find that the golf course was playable in addition to just being stunning?
Definitely playable. And I think that the only part that maybe the average golfer, which I consider myself the average golfer nowadays, because I don't play much anymore, but the only place where you might find it extremely difficult is within 20, 25 feet or outside like 50 feet. When you're getting on the putting green and you're a long way away, there are some real breakers, some real slingers that you're going to have to aim, you know, 20 feet to the right. And if you're not great at reading greens, that could be something that you struggle with at Macklemore. But you could say the same thing about Sweetens as well. So I think that, you know, honing in that short game, honing in your distance and your speed control on the putting green before you go out there was definitely important. But as far as all of the shots, there are some blind shots for sure. We had the privilege of being with the assistant pro. So, you know, he was kind of guiding us and telling us where to hit it. So if you, you know, ask the people in the pro shop before some tips on some holes and just go out there with a have fun mindset, you're definitely going to have a good time there. And we really enjoyed it. And can't say enough good things about it.
I'm never bothered by big greens and that type of thing. And even crazy greens. Mitch and I talk about crazy greens all the time on the golf course, because it's hard to lose your golf ball once you're on the green. So I don't have a problem with that. It's more, I was thinking about the drop-offs, those types of things where sometimes it's hard to get the width in fairways that we want from golf courses now when you're, you know, relegated to trying to build through, you know, or on the side of a mountain, I guess was what I was thinking.
Yeah, definitely. There wasn't any real cliff drop-offs like there was on number 18. I mean, the way it looks online, it looks like you could hit it just barely left and it would go off the cliff. But in reality, when you're there, you would have to hit it pretty significantly left to lose a ball. Now on the green, you know, you miss it left of the green, hit a little bit too much of a draw and you could lose it. But there's plenty of space out there and definitely was a fun golf course all around. I had very high expectations for the golf course, and it definitely met everything that I was looking for in a fun round of mountain golf. And I haven't played much mountain golf, so it was definitely a cool experience for us.
All right. For those that want more information, at the _ Macklemore, MCLEMORE on Twitter. I guarantee if you go look at it, you're going to be blown away too. I can't wait to get there. It really, really sounds like a cool place. Let's talk about the next place that we want to talk about. Now, I have to admit, I hadn't heard of Troubadour. And when I did a little bit of research on it, Samantha, it has one of those names that's going to stick with you, Troubadour Golf and Field Club.
Yeah.
I've heard of a lot of other names, but Field Club, I don't know that I've ever heard. It's in College Grove, Tennessee, and it is a complete unique community near Nashville. They've got houses, parks, music venues, and what we're going to talk about too, a Tom Fazio designed golf course that's long on beauty and ridiculous elevation changes and views that never end. This seems like a really, really special place.
I had no idea what to expect when Alex told me we were going to Troubadour. She has a good friend who teaches out there. And, you know, she's like, okay, let's go play Troubadour. And I was like, okay, whatever. I hadn't really heard of it either. But then I found out that it's a Discoveryland property. And if you know, if you're in golf and you know anything about Discoveryland properties, you've got Baker's Bay, Gozer Ranch, Troubadour, Silo Ridge, courses like that all over the country that are the next level of golf. Like, the people who belong to those country clubs are in a different level of the world, I like to say. So we show up to Troubadour and, you know, we get on our golf cart and we're up on the range, and there's a big screen TV on the range, probably, I don't know, few feet wide, blasting college football. There's music playing. There's people at picnic tables. There's people on the range, people on the golf course. And it just was so much fun. Like, you're on the range and you're listening to the college football game, turn around, watching it for a second, go back to hitting balls. Best margaritas I've maybe ever had from the bar there. And it was so incredible. I really don't even know how to describe it to y'all, but it was one of the most pure and well-kept golf courses I've ever seen. And this is how you know that, by the way, is, you know, you get to a par three, number two is a par three, you get to a par three, and number one, I was already in shock with the view. You get to number two and, you know, you walk up from the cart and got like 120 yards for par three. And I didn't bring a tee from the cart, and, you know, you're looking around on the ground and I'm like, uh-oh, there's not any broken tees out here. Like, this place is really kept well. Like, that's when you know that it's a very well-kept golf course, is when you can't find any broken tees to use on a par three.
So are they running out between groups to pick up broken tees?
They must be, because, I mean, granted, they only have about 100 members. So it isn't very, very heavily trafficked either. But it was not a piece of grass at a place. Big swinging putts, like I was talking about Macklemore and Sweetens. We had a couple hard putting courses that we played, and everything was rolling so fast. But Macklemore to me was a great golf course, and I can't wait to see what the rest of it looks like when it's done. But Troubadour was everything you could ever want. Like, there's the pro shop where there's the restaurant, and they have, you know, you can go eat at night, you can go for lunch. They've got sushi, they've got steak, they've got, you know, anything you could want there. Fresh fish flown in daily from Hawaii, best salmon sushi I've ever had in my life. And then you go up the road and there's a big bonfire where there's draft beer, kind of just with TVs out in the middle of nowhere. It's incredible. I don't even know how to explain it to you. Alex has played there many times before, but I was felt extremely blessed to be on property there and have that experience. And the golf course was so fun. And same exact feel as Sweetens. Discoveryland properties try to have that open, fun, relaxed feeling. And so, you know, we go on the first day and Alex's friend, you know, we're getting ready. I've got my golf clothes on, and, you know, I grew up at a country club. I've always been told, you know, collared shirt, pants, belt, shoes, you know, nice looking hair, you know, make sure you got it all figured out, and kind of walk into the living room. And Matt goes, "You can wear sweats if you want." And I was like, "It is kind of cold, but like, what do you mean?" And he's like, "Well, you had on leggings like Lululemon before, like you can put that back on if it would make you more comfortable." And I get out there and everybody's wearing gym shorts and t-shirts. And it was just a really cool vibe for how prestigious the golf course is, if that makes sense.
Best part. That sounds like the best part.
It was really fun. So I wore my golf polo and my leggings and my tennis shoes and threw my hair up in a bun. And I was like, "Let's go have some fun." And we just were betting around on the golf course. And it made things feel a little bit more chill for somewhere that did feel so insanely prestigious. So it was so much fun.
These Discoveryland properties are probably what we should all aspire to. I got to go to Gozer Ranch in Idaho last year, and the same thing. I mean, you're just blown away by the level of detail. One of the things that we went crazy for at Gozer was the comfort stations. They tend to, at the Discovery properties, have almost everything you could possibly imagine. I remember we could make root beer floats at Gozer when we were in there with fresh root beer on tap. And it was unbelievable. What were the comfort stations like at Troubadour?
They were exactly the same as you mentioned. And I'd seen videos of Alex sent me, you know, the couple weeks before she was there, like, check out this halfway house. It's called the Comfort Station or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you know, whatever, cool. Click on the video and I'm like, oh, okay. So then, but I still, you know, you see that stuff and you still don't think it's going to be that cool in person, right? And so you get there and Alex is like, we're walking in. She's like, hey, bring your phone. And I'm like, okay. So I bring it in and I mean, you go right into this comfort station. There's Hot Fudge Sundae station on the left with Jenny's ice cream. If you know anything about Jenny's ice cream, that is like hard to find. And then to the right, you've got a Bloody Mary station with fresh bacon, grilled cheese. Bacon is still sizzling as it's coming off of the grill there. You've got a full bar. You've got any type of chip or soda or candy or anything you could ever want. And this is how I know. When I was in college, I was obsessed with these candy blocks. And they're basically just like, kind of like Sweet Tarts, but they're in the shape of Legos. And so you can like build stuff with them. And don't ask me why I was like 20 years old obsessed with this like Lego candy. But I pull up and we're looking at all this stuff. They've got gummy worms and all like Sour Patch Kids and all the basic stuff, but they had candy blocks. And I was like, oh my God, I have not seen these in like 5 years. I used to buy them by the pound at the Fayetteville, Arkansas mall, because it was the only place I could find it in this dingy candy store. And so that was really fun to kind of have. Alex is like, they've got everything. What do you want? And I was like, free chili cheese Fritos. And she's like, yep, they got them. And it's just like anything you could, I don't even know how they fit it all in there. But again, best margarita ever. And so my haul from there was margarita with Casamigos Blanco, some candy blocks, and some chili cheese Fritos. So we were rolling.
Nice.
We were
the breakfast of champions.
Sure.
So this is a little different than just a hot dog at the turn.
Absolutely. Very different.
Just as a side note, have you been to Cavera in Mexico, in Cabo?
I have not.
No. If you get a chance, because obviously now you're on the Comfort Station playlist. But that's
yes.
That's another place that you literally just want to move to the Comfort Stations. Forget the great golf course, but that's another place that has them. So
it was funny because when we played the first day, you know, you're kind of taking everything in. I was already like overwhelmed with everything we'd seen in the past few days. And we went to play late in the afternoon on Saturday. And we show up and Alex is like, hey, check out this Comfort Station, whatever. First thing I notice, Hot Fudge Sundaes. I'm like, who would want ice cream on the golf course? Sunday afternoon, I'm like, Alex, when's the next Comfort Station? I want ice cream. Like, it's like, you just kind of, you don't know that you want it until you see it out there. And they had everything, like you said, some cool sodas on tap and any kind of seltzer you could want. Or it was just, it's, I don't even know how I'm going to go back to a regular golf course now.
Oh, boy.
They're not going to have Jenny's ice cream. I don't want it.
Well, so, this brings up an interesting point, though, Samantha, because Sweetens and the Macklemore, we can all get on. Troubadour is a different story. So I'm guessing that you've now enticed everyone who's going to listen to this to try to go there. And I think for everybody, it's going to be that path of, okay, how do I do this? Because it sounds so amazing.
Yeah. And I wish I had counsel for you besides buying a couple $1 million plot of land on Troubadour and building a house.
Easy.
That seems like a good route to me. And Easy. Hey, why don't you do it? And then I'll just come visit.
Well, I was going to say, why don't we just put together a team? But if we got 100 people together, this is like crowdfunding for Troubadour. If we got 100 people together, whatever that math is, and we said, okay, we're all going to buy a house, and then we have shares. So even if it's one week a year, it's like a timeshare.
You think the Troubadour is going to let you do that?
Why not?
What they don't know don't hurt them.
And if they're selling the property, what's the deal? We're all good people. It's not like we're coming in with a trash, you know, heavy metal band. They're going to trash the place, which could be okay too. I don't know.
Well, you know, if anybody from Troubadour is listening, just don't worry about it. We'll No, we'll figure it out ourselves.
All right. Here's the way you can actually get to find out more. I love going through their website because it really does make you really, really see what they're about. But on Instagram, they have a big Instagram presence. It's at the Troubadour Club there. So take a look at that. All right. Those are the courses. They sound fabulous. What a great trip. Just kind of as we work toward the close here, Samantha, I want to give a little bit of background on you because to me, your path has been pretty interesting. You grew up in junior golf, as we talked about. Then you went to UNC for a bit before transferring to Arkansas for the golf team. Now, just on a side note, as a Duke fan, I totally understand leaving UNC. Completely get it. But it looks like you want to say something there? Or
no, I don't. Okay. I will just let that one go ahead and pass under the table.
All right. Actually, I love the rivalry. All right. It looked like you had a really, and from what I've listened to a couple shows that you did talking about your experience at Arkansas, which we won't really dive into here, but it seems like a great experience, a pretty incredible team that you had there at Arkansas. We just got to watch the Blessings Collegiate Invitational in Fayetteville, which I would be sure that you would have played, I would think.
Yeah, that was our home course. Played it every day.
There you go. It was a good guess. It looked great. It really looked great. But you, if you want to just talk a little bit about the experience of that, because not only were you on the team, and to be on that team, you have to be obviously a really, really good player. But you had a couple of pretty good teammates in Gabby Lopez and Maria Fassi while you were there. You're getting to see them start what looks like a fantastic pro career. Talk a little bit about what that gave you for the couple of years, the few years you were there at Arkansas, and having that as a foundation really for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Gabby and Maria both were better friends than they were teammates. And that was important to Shauna. Shauna Estes Taylor, our coach, was all about fostering relationships and building a team that, you know, could get along and get through anything together, and that it was more about the people than the game. And if you have people that love each other and care about each other, then the game will follow. And that's really what we practiced and preached on a day-to-day basis. Had a great team. I was very fortunate that Shauna, you know, wanted me as a transfer. It was funny because I won't go too deep into this, but I was looking at transferring and I reached out to Gabby solely as a friend in college. And I said, hey, Gabby, you know, I'm pretty unhappy here at UNC and I don't know what to do, but I knew that she was really close with Coach Shauna. And I said, can you just ask her like what I should do? Like, who should I contact? What coaches can I talk to? You know, I don't know how transferring works. I never thought it would be me. And I said, can you just ask her and let me know, you know, what her counsel would be to me? And she said, well, she wants you to come out and visit and she wants you. And it was a couple of days later and I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, not what I thought was going to happen, but okay. And so, I get on a plane. I'm not kidding you. I had no idea where Arkansas was on a map. I had to look it up when I landed. And so just had the best time. And I was friends with all of them before, just from junior golf. It was Gabby Lopez, Regina Placencia, and Summer Rochelle. Summer's still one of my dear friends now. And it was awesome because I didn't feel like I was walking into, you know, something scary. I was walking into, you know, life with my best friends. And it was really just an awesome way that Shauna fostered the team more so about people than it was about golf. We worked hard. We worked out hard. We practiced hard, but we loved on each other harder. And that is what made us successful as a team.
Boy, is that great. I love hearing all that. I love the idea that walking into a place as a transfer, you felt like you were home in a way.
Oh, 100%. I was very scared because, you know, they had already had a couple of years together and I didn't want to feel, you know, like an outcast, like I may have felt it before. And I was extremely surprised in a good way and overwhelmed with kind of the welcomeness that I felt. And so it just became a very good feel for me, good fit for me, incredible practice facilities, incredible home course, great academics, beautiful campus. So it was a great fit for me and a great 3 years.
This gives us an opportunity too, Mitch, to talk about something that we don't talk about very often, and that is golf in Arkansas. In fact, I don't know that we've ever mentioned it. I mentioned Hardscrabble Golf Club at the beginning of the show. In my pre-golf industry life, when I was in the newspaper business, I ended up on a newspaper project where I spent a lot of time, much more time than probably I wanted to, in Fort Smith and then up in Fayetteville and Springdale and Bentonville and Rogers, which are all towns that probably only me and Samantha, who listen to this, will know. But there is a lot of fun golf. And one of the perks of the job I had was I got to go play at Hardscrabble, which was in Fort Smith. Samantha, tell us some of the golf courses that you played in addition to the home course there in Fayetteville. What's golf like in Arkansas?
Yeah, and you're not going to like this answer because I think I've only played three courses in Arkansas. So we played the Blessings about every day, and we had great access there because there were only maybe 100 or 200 members. Mr. Tyson of Tyson Foods owns the course, so we had access to everything. I mean, we could take up the whole course all afternoon, never see a member. We did a lot of really cool drills out there, you know, hitting from different places in the fairways and rough and stuff like that. So that was our day-to-day course. We also played a lot at Fayetteville Country Club, which was a great 18-holer, a much different experience than Blessings, much easier, you could say, to the average golfer. We did a lot of qualifying out there as well, just to kind of get a different feel for your game. It's not as penalizing. There's not as many lost balls and stuff like that. So we'd play from a shorter distance to kind of see how the wedge game was working and stuff like that. And then I also played at Pinnacle, which is where the NWA championship is on the LPGA tour. I Monday qualified into that my junior year. So those were, I think, the only three courses I've played in Arkansas, which is kind of embarrassing now that I say it out loud. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. Some cool views. I'm a sucker for some pretty trees, so some beautiful trees. And if you're playing at Blessings, there's lots of opportunities to lose some golf balls. So better pack a bag pretty heavy.
I've played Pinnacle, so yeah, we have at least one in common there. You got into broadcast journalism at Arkansas and then found your way to Golf Channel. You know, talk a little bit about that. And now that you're embarking on kind of a new course in life, tell us some of the things that you're doing now.
Sure. So I realized that I didn't want to play pro about 8 months before graduation. And I kind of was like, uh-oh, what do I do? Like, crisis. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I haven't really been paying attention in class because I didn't think I was going to do this. So I went to my department head of broadcast journalism and I said, hey, Larry, you know, you think I could do this? And he was like, yeah, if you actually get off your phone, start paying attention in class. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound fun. So I guess I'll try it. And so, you know, I kind of put my head down and went to work and started, you know, doing some extra stuff and working with my professors on getting better every single day. And I interviewed for some jobs before graduation because I didn't want to have like a lapse in college to, you know, job life pretty much. So the morning after graduation, I moved to Colorado Springs, which is about an hour south of Denver. And I was on air starting the next day for a local news station, Fox 21 there in Colorado Springs, and had a great experience there, made some friends that, you know, I'll always have in my life. But I also saw a few too many dead bodies for a 22-year-old female living alone in a city she's never been to. So
hold it. I have to interrupt you. Were you, when you say you were on air, were you doing anchor work for the news station?
Yes. So I was just a breaking news reporter, breaking news anchor, any news of the day. It could be a 95-year-old grandma's birthday party or a kid getting run over by a car.
Got it.
You never know what you're going to walk into. So I was just breaking news reporter, and then I would anchor the show on the weekends. But it just got to be a little bit depressing for me, for lack of a better term. And I knew I wanted to get back to golf. I was very homesick, missing home, missing my parents. And so I found a job on golfchannel.com or whatever the website was. And I kind of always thought that when you apply for jobs like that, that they just kind of go into the abyss. I never thought that applications like that actually go anywhere. I thought you always have to know somebody to, you know, get hooked up somewhere like that. So I'd always wanted to work at the Golf Channel and applied for this job working on the website and got a call back. And within 2 weeks, I was hired and moved down here the day before Christmas and started my job with Golf Channel. And although it's over now, it was an extremely fun job. I mean, we worked from home from the beginning, and I got to sit in my robe and watch golf and tweet about it. So, I mean, there's really nothing better
terrible
than that. So.
Wait, that's what I do now.
Yeah.
Is it too late?
Exactly.
Is it too late?
It's not too late. Never too late.
All right.
Never too late. So yeah, so as probably everyone knows, Golf Channel's moving to Connecticut and, mm-hmm. and frankly taking very few people with them. So my end of reign at Golf Channel was August 29th. And since then, I've had several people reach out to me just wanting some social media help overall with, you know, I don't want to say what I've built on Twitter, but I have built a significant following in the past year, and people see that and like my content and wanted some help. And I think that a lot of golf companies are run by older men and women who don't necessarily have the knowledge that people of my age do. And they reached out for some help. And so I've been working with Travis Fulton, big instructor in the game,
yep.
does some amazing work on Instagram and Twitter. And we've been ramping up the content the past few weeks. I have a few more clients as well that I work for, and kind of just doing my own little marketing thing. Get to, you know, sleep in and play golf in the afternoons and kind of make my own schedule. So it's been really fun as well.
I don't know. This sounds terrible to me.
I'm telling you.
I don't know how you can keep this going, really. Well, the Stripe Show podcast has to be fun.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I've listened to it, and you guys have a great rapport, and you have great guests on it. And I mean, that's just one facet of obviously what you're doing, but you're in there. It's like I said at the beginning, you have such a diversity of talent. And this isn't blowing smoke. This is just the truth. If you follow what you've been doing, that it seems like all kinds of opportunities should open up for somebody with that talent.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate that. And I would agree that it's something that, you know, I do pride myself in, as I've done a lot of things in very few years and learned a lot of things. And I've researched and learned stuff on my own. I'm a big believer in you can learn anything with a Google search bar. Taught myself a lot of stuff in the last few months about how to manage social media, how to run ad campaigns, and I don't have a marketing degree, but people still seek out my expertise, and I've figured it out, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job. And it's just kind of a testament to the fact that you can learn literally whatever you want, whenever you want. And just to not let that fear stop you, because I was very scared when I knew my time at Golf Channel was ending. And you know, you hear so many people say, oh, something will come along. Well, I'm making it come along for myself. And I think that I'm very proud of myself for that. And I know that the only way is up from here.
Well, I'll say there is no place other than that. So I have no fear.
No, me either. It's going to be a great year. Great year.
And it sounds like Coach Shauna would be proud of you. Right now, I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to her? You still in touch with her?
I do. Yeah. We chat fairly frequently.
She's
awesome. And she was a young coach, but she was like a second mother to us. And mm-hmm. we could go to her with anything. And I think a lot of coaches say, oh, open door policy. You can, you know, talk to me about whatever. But I never really felt it until I was at Arkansas, and we all just had such a great relationship that it was fun. You know, those hours and hours of practice were fun when you get to hang out with your best friends.
Well, this is good. All right. We're going to get to a few final questions. They're kind of quick hitters. And I just realized, you know, if worse comes to worse, you can open a hat store in your house.
Oh God, I know.
Darren, we have someone with an illness that may need some help.
But I wear a hat every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's okay. And it's very hard to find a hat that fits a girl's head right. So when I find a dry fit, small fit hat, I have to buy it. It's like a law, because it's going to fit right. And sometimes it's very hard to find those.
Kind of the same size that Mitch wears.
It is. I have an extra small head too, so I could probably wear the same as you. If I come by, I'm swiping a couple. I know it right now.
All right.
Let's get to these quick hitting questions. Just a few of our favorite golf travel questions, if you'd be so kind. First up, a bucket list course or destination?
Pebble Beach and all of the courses around it.
Okay.
You've not been to Pebble Beach yet?
I have not. My parents have been like 10 times and somehow I'm never invited. That's crazy.
Wait a minute. You know why? It's because you take money off your father on the putting green.
Yeah, well, that's his problem, not mine.
Wow. I like that. When you say the other courses, do you have a couple other in mind?
Oh, just like Spyglass and those. I don't have a ton of knowledge about those courses out there, to be honest with you, but just, you know, of watching it on TV and seeing some stuff, it's definitely somewhere I want to go.
What about, and this is usually our first question when we do our emergency nines, but what's your favorite course or destination anywhere in the world? And we're not going to let you say Winter Park.
Let's see. I had a really fun time at Sun River in Oregon. I was very young, maybe like 15, but just a course it's really stuck with me. And I would like to go back sometime. It was great views, great golf, great community there, beautiful resort. So that's a really random answer for me, but I would say that.
Can't go wrong with golf in Oregon.
And that's an intuitive. If it stayed with you that long, that's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a favorite place you've ever stayed? I know the house at Macklemore has probably jumped up to...
So I went to Old Head. We did an Ireland trip with my parents when I was 18, just out of high school. And this guy who belongs to our country club is a member at Old Head. And he was like, oh, we'll get you a room. It'll be great. You know, whatever. Like, we'll set you up. We'll get you a room. And me and my parents are geeking over it, right? Because, you know, it's just an incredible golf course. And that's something that will always stick with me. We were in the members suite, which is right on the 18th green.
Oh boy.
And it was absolutely insane. Just the views and the lighthouse and it was miserably cold, but you didn't even care at that point. That was definitely my favorite place that I've stayed in a golf related trip.
It's hard to beat that one, Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to mention I was with my parents, so I didn't even pay for it. That was the best part.
Hello.
All right. What you mentioned sushi earlier. Salmon sushi. I don't know what kind of a foodie you are or aren't, but what is your favorite thing you've eaten on a trip?
Oh, wow. You really caught me off guard there. I would maybe say, just because it's recent, I had the ribeye at Troubadour, and it was definitely the best steak I've ever had in my life, for sure.
Nice.
Wow. All right. We might have to break into Troubadour. Darren, let's just go and say Samantha and Alex sent us. They told us to try it.
No, just Alex.
All right, we'll use Alex. All right, well, this has been fun. We've learned a lot about you and some great golf courses, and really grateful to you for taking the time to talk to Darren and I and keep us posted on what you're doing. And all I can say is I'm looking forward to the journey. I'm going to follow along. I hope a lot of other people do too.
Of course. Well, thank you guys for having me. And I'm sure I think Alex and I have a couple more trips planned. So when we hit some other courses, we'll have to chat again.
Cool. Hopefully we can actually, you know, tee it up together sometime somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. We'll make it happen.
I think we'd have a blast. Thanks again. For obviously, sure. I said at the beginning, you can find Samantha at Samantha S. Marks on Twitter and Instagram. Strongly suggest that you do. This has been a blast. I knew it would be. Darren, always a treat, man, to talk about golf and places we love to go.
Yeah, you know what? I was just looking at my phone while we were talking, which I probably shouldn't admit, and I realized that I'm not following Samantha. And
the weird thing is,
cut him off.
I will remedy that as soon as we hang up. But the strange thing is, I feel like I see all your tweets, and I think that's a testament to how many people do follow you, that they're showing up in my feed, even though somehow I overlooked ever hitting the follow button. So I will definitely do that. As always, our listeners, we can't do this without you. Thank you for following us and listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us on iTunes, hit the social media at Golf Trip Experts with your questions, your comments, pretty much anything you want to say or talk about when it comes to the world of golf travel.
You bet. All right. Samantha had a dream growing up to play golf, And two, after dropping her idea of becoming a nutritionist to make a difference in the world of golf media, which she is certainly doing. She's running it down big time. Hope you can run down your own dreams. Take it away, Tom Petty. So long. I run down the dreams.